We have made it to show number 60 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. I am your host, Stuart Howe, and today, if you're listening live, is May 14th in the year 2022. And, well, what a week. There's even more going on this week than there was last week. And we are on quite a ride here with the rollout of all this crazy shenanigans around the world. And here at home, I'm in northern Idaho, and my heart goes out to you wherever you are if you're having a tough time dealing with this Fourth Reich push for global domination under the guise of a pandemic or whatever else they're using as an excuse to, you know, further enslave humanity and all of our animal friends, and, you know, take this whole control matrix to another level of absurdity. And, you know, the good news is that gives us the opportunity to see them now that they've uncloaked and to counter their machinations. And people are coming around, and I am optimistic. As my friend Benny Will says, I am an apocaloptimist. In the apocalypse here, the great unveiling, I am optimistic. It's the first time in the history of mankind, according to Zygmunt Brzezinski, would-be globalist, elitist, scumbag, rat bastard, said to the Council on Foreign Relations that the first time in the history of humanity, citizenry is awake and aware and looking them in the eye. He said that, man, probably 12 or 15 years ago. And, yeah, man, so we are toe-to-toe with the vermin that believe they have the right to subjugate us. They believe they're a ruling class, when really they are, in the literal sense of the word, retards. They are dysfunctionally retarded. They have not developed the empathy and compassion and decency, and so they have been retarded from reaching their human potential. And so we're going to take them out, take them down, build something better. We're going to not build back. We're going to build forward. And away we go. I've got some amazing guests today. First one's waiting in the green room. Second one is standing by down on the border between us and our neighbors to the south. Mexico and Central America are wonderful places full of good, warm-hearted, decent people. I've spent a fair amount of time in Central America, southern mainland Mexico. Wonderful, godly people. Beautiful, beautiful natural settings. Great surf, by the way, and they are weaponizing the immigration into this country. They are sex trafficking children out of that country. Mexico, you know, probably the origin points are all over Central and South America, and Mexico and Guatemala, El Salvador, all of it. They come up through Mexico and get trafficked. And so we have an amazing, wonderful woman who is boots on the ground looking out for the best interest of these children that are they're going right out of the clutches of the cartels into the clutches of the Border Patrol and the U.S. Sex trafficking cartel, basically the federal government. You know, it was all exposed under... Well, there are several different documentaries, you know, where they were trafficking kids in and out of Boys Town. I forget the name of the documentary, but there's no shortage of documentation. I know it's not something one would wish to believe, but that doesn't make it any less true. So she'll be on with us. Butterfly is doing God's work down there and needs some help. So please get a pen and paper handy, because it's time that we all stretch to our limit to save our world and our republic from the clutches of these evil bastards and those that would do their bidding. And up here in northern Idaho, we have a wonderful man, you know, a guy that is boots on the ground up here doing God's work, speaking eloquently with all I could say is common sense and divine inspiration about getting that element into the Senate here in Idaho, you know, to be an example, take our state back, show other states how to do it, and show the world how to do it. So Scott Herndon is with us. He is a candidate for Senate here. His website is HerndonForIdaho.com. And Scott, are you there with us in the green room, sir?
I am, Stuart. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. I got out for a mountain bike ride unexpectedly. I didn't have to go to work, so, you know, I got to go meet with some friends, and then I went for a ride in the forest and broke my chain, and an hour-and-a-half mountain bike journey turned into a two-and-a-half-hour mountain bike journey and hike, but it was a beautiful day for it, so it was a good day.
Good day to be packing that on your back, right?
It was a lovely day to be up there. You know, I just switched gears from I had a nice long descent through the forest, and then right at the bottom when I got to the highway, my chain snapped. So I had a nice walk back, and it was beautiful up here. It's an amazing place, and, you know, we're trying to protect it. So what's going on with you? Can you introduce yourself to our audience and kind of let us know, you know, who you are and what you're up to?
Sure. I'm Scott Herndon. I'm running for the Idaho State Senate. Idaho State Senate has 35 members. They divide Idaho, and it's 1.8 million people, into 35 legislative districts. And we're all the way at the top of the state, District 1. So we're numbered District 1. It starts at the Canadian border with Idaho and then runs down to close to the Bonner County, Kootenai County line, and we run for office every 2 years. I'm not in the Senate yet. I'm running against a guy, the current senator, votes with the Democrats on a lot of issues, and he definitely does not lean what I define as conservative, so I decided to run against him. I think North Idaho has a much more conservative leaning. I think we want much more limited government than what we've seen, especially the last 2 years with what the government has done during the COVID time period. And so I'm hoping that this is going to be our opportunity, but we're right up against this election. So what I'm doing today is actually outdoor knocking up in Moye Springs with another gentleman that's helping my campaign. And we're actually knocking on voters' doors, and the vote is Tuesday. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Yeah. Polls are open.
Wow, awesome. So just to encapsulate, you know, your stance, I watched Casey Whalen's videos when you spoke down in Montana in St. Regis at that event, the Red Pill Festival. And, I was really, you know, impressed with that, because you made it, you know, very simple. The common sense of just getting people in there that are not criminals is going to make a huge difference. People that aren't sold out to these crime syndicates and the, you know, the corporate entities that have our interest not at all as a concern. And you are a man of divine principle, and you spoke very, very eloquently at that event about the infrastructure and the way government works, and that we just need to implement constitutional principles and let the federal government F off, for lack of a more eloquent way to put it. They do not have jurisdiction over us, and it's just they have just gotten out of hand. We need to rein them in with the 10th Amendment and just not give them the funding that they want. When they give us funding, we need to return it, like the ARPA funds, and we need to, you know, reanimate the balance of power and the enumerated powers, you know, that they are supposed to only have. And we need to, you know, have representatives in our state capital and our county, you know, infrastructure and our cities that just say no to this BS.
Well, the design is a good design for the American Republic. It's got a number of boundaries between these different branches of government and between the state and the feds. But the problem with boundaries is they're only as good as the people who enforce them. And so that's what's been lacking, is there's been a lack between the state pushing back against the federal government. There's been a lack between, in Idaho, just the Idaho State Legislature pushing back against the executive branch of the Idaho State government, the governor. A good functioning American Republic is going to have some what I call polite tension between the different branches of government and between the federal and the state governments. And so when there is a polite tension, when there's actually pushback, then the checks and balances, as are designed into the system, function, and you get a better government. And if there is no pushback, if there's no tension, if there's no check and balance, then you get the opportunity and you set up the circumstances for what I would call various levels of tyranny. It's when you concentrate power into one hand and you don't check it, concentrate power into a few hands and don't check it, then you're going to get someone running away with their power and oppressing the rest of us. So the whole idea is we've got to get this American Republic as designed functioning. We've got to exercise both the federal and state constitution. It takes the people elected to do that. That's what their job is. The documents don't enforce themselves. And so that's what we need in our government. We need it at the local level. We need it at the state level. We need it at the federal level and the Congress. And so hopefully we're going to start to see some changes with this next election cycle.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we're seeing them already. I am encouraged by seeing the change of just people getting up off their, you know, rear ends, or people that are already up off their rear ends doing different things, now focusing on exactly what you're saying. You know, there are guys like you, and, you know, there's probably 15 or 20 or 50 or more in the state, people that have been, you know, soccer moms, housewives, you know, guys like Todd Engel and you know, guys that, you know, have been in service to our country in a lot of different ways. Now they're running for office because they see the need to do exactly what you just expressed, to get in there and draw a line in the sand and tell them no. You know, tell the federal government no. The states, you know, we have the right to do this the way that the Constitution outlines, and we have the right to represent our neighbors in a lawful manner, and the federal government has no jurisdiction, you know, to mandate all this stuff they've been mandating, and they can't continue to extort our money with the taxes the way that they've been doing, to the degree they've been doing, and just saying no. I mean, I love the way that, like, guys like you and Ron Korn and other people are stepping, you know, into the fray now, you know, to join people like Heather Scott, to actually represent we the people, and stop this usurpation of power. And I like the way that you put it. You know, well, I don't know if you said slight tension or polite tension, but I would
go so far as polite. I say we can be polite and create the tension necessary, because I say you don't have to be mean-spirited, but there's got to be tension. In other words, that tension is created by pushback. It's created by when the governor does something unlawful, then the legislature says no. When the judiciary is out of control, then the executive branch and the legislature have to say no.
Yeah, absolutely. I would even characterize it as blowback. They're about to get their hair blown back with backlash from we the people and guys like you helping to, you know, to provide that polite tension. I would even go so far as to say that that expression, that when people fear the government, there's tyranny, and when the government fears the people, there's peace and tranquility and freedom. I'd like to see the federal government, you know, kind of take pause when they try to, you know, mandate this stuff for the states, because, you know, we've got to rein them in, Scott, and I know you know that, and I'm excited. I think everybody should check out your speeches and donate to you and get out there and help guys like you in their own area if they're not here in Northern Idaho, wherever you are. I mean, man, it's time to get this done, because maybe you could speak for a minute before we go to break. We've got about 8 minutes, I think, before you hear the music come up, about what's at stake here. Like, I don't think a lot of people realize, and it's not an accident. They're, you know, doing this business as usual and focus on, you know, whatever it is, this COVID nonsense or this Ukraine nonsense or Amber Turd or whatever ridiculous nonsense. They're leading people away from what's going on. How dire of a situation is it, I mean, that we need to avert here? I mean, it looks to me like they're going to usher in a new dark ages if we let them take this country.
Well, we just have to not forget what we've seen out of our government in the last 2 years, because the last 2 years didn't come in out of nowhere. It didn't appear, the government actions, in a vacuum. So the government has been, for a long time, if you understand how even Idaho state government works, while we, the people, are going about our daily business, you have your government. Basically, they meet in session like the legislature does 3 months out of the year, January through March, in the state of Idaho. And they're 400 miles away from North Idaho when they're doing that. They're away from all of rural North Idaho when they're doing that, meeting in Boise. And there are 600 total registered lobbyist corporations and individual lobbyists representing very large corporations, multinational corporations, representing special interests. And they're plying our legislators on a daily basis to get our legislators to vote for policies that support whatever their interests are. And the people and our individual liberty is what is lacking in the equation. There isn't some big professional lobbyist organization down there that represents the freedom-loving individual. In other words, they don't represent the individual's right to self-government and the individual's right to have less regulation in their lives. And so that's who has been lacking. And our representatives, I think, get a little bit wowed by what these lobbyists and corporations do and ply them with while they're down there for 3 months in the Boise Capitol, and they basically give away our liberty. And that accumulates over time. It's just a little thing here and a little thing there, and over time we see more government, less liberty, and then we kind of lose track. So it's like the frog in the pot. As the pot slowly heats up, you forget what limited government is supposed to be. I just watched last night a 50-year-old, it was more than 50 years old, I think it dated back to 1965, a speech by Ronald Reagan, where he talked about, it was before he was going to run for governor at the time, hadn't even announced yet in that particular speech, he talked about how government is the thing to be feared. Government is the thing that oppresses people. And that was, well, how long ago was 1965? It was 57 years ago or so. And so we've been at this fight a long time. In other words, this erosion of individual liberty. And if you look at all the different ways you pay taxes and all the different ways your life is regulated by the government, now you saw this explosion of that during the COVID era. Government thinking that it could tell you that it's a crime to go to church or a crime to keep your business open and send in the Idaho State Police to fine you $2,500 for doing so. We have to not forget that happened. And we have to remember, so Governor Little right now will tell you that everything's great and Idaho's doing well. We have to remember that he was at the head of that, a lot of that happened out of his executive orders and proclamations. And then the inflation that we're seeing in these supply chain debacle and snafus that we have with products months away, even a year away on certain products. I'm in the home building industry. And then the prices that are three times more now than they were 2 years ago, and gas prices and food prices, that was caused by our government. And so we have to understand that it wasn't COVID that caused that, and it wasn't we who caused that. It was the government's actions disrupting the supply chain and injecting massive amounts of money to the money supply that caused those problems. And that money was created out of thin air, and that's a national debt burden on our children and our children's children. And so we have to keep that in mind, and we need to reverse the things that happened that allowed those policies to be implemented. So you talk about money and the need to say no to money, the need to reject federal programs. Right now, the federal government and their dollars make up 45% of Idaho state, quote, revenues. When Idaho's doing its budget, that's 45% of revenues. And we need to start to reverse that trend. So the federal government has a big footprint in Idaho. We need to get it out of Idaho. And then we need to even limit the size and growth and actually probably see a reduction in the size and scope of what Idaho government does. So we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but it has to take people to have an eye on the big picture that want to take government in that direction.
Yeah, I think government's main role should be to undo itself and get rid of itself. And we need to get the people more educated and raise their level of morality so we can be self-governing. I like the fact that you're a polite, educated man, but I think you give these people way too much credit in referring to this supply chain breakdowns and the economy going to crap as a debacle or a snafu. I would posit that it is a plot. It is not. They didn't mess up as a debacle or a snafu would imply. I believe it is clearly self-evident. This is an orchestrated takedown of the American economy so they can usher in their global reset. But we'll unpack that a little more on the other side of the break here on the White Rose Resistance Hour with Scott Herndon.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interest as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, welcome. Welcome back, folks. We've got a short segment here, and I'm going to bring in just a minute, a butterfly is on the line with us. But Scott, yeah, man, thank you for bringing up the points that you did about getting our system working again and animating the checks and balances. Do you want to finish out that point before we bring Butterfly in to speak about the child sex trafficking on our borders for a few minutes?
Yeah, well, let's just finish that point because this is just critical that we were told that by Benjamin Franklin, that it's a republic if we can keep it. And the key is that the people have to know what that means and what is the American Republic. And the key about the American Republic is it's not the Democratic Republic of North Korea. See, there are a lot of places that call themselves a republic that are not the American Republic. So what is unique about us is those checks and balances, is that the power rests with the people. And we have the different branches of government, and we have the two levels of government between the federal government and the state. So the people need to understand that there are these different responsibilities of these branches, and if we understand that, then we're going to be able to put pressure on the different branches of government to function properly according to the original design. And that's why, for example, we should have never accepted Roe v. Wade all these years, and it has resulted in the death of 65 million children. The judicial branch of the federal government overstepped, and what the state should have done and what the executive branch in the state should have done and the legislative branch in the state of Idaho should have just been to reject the Roe opinion as fiction. A lot of states have figured that out. They've rejected the federal government's, the Congress's Controlled Substances Act regarding marijuana, and even a 2005 Supreme Court decision on the subject of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act, and they've legalized marijuana anyway. And that's the way it's supposed to work. We weren't supposed to be controlled by some oligarchs in black robes in Washington, D.C. So that would be what I'd leave you with today.
Yeah, well, if you can, stick around for a few minutes. We'll chat with Butterfly for a few minutes about how bad government has gotten in that aspect, and then get back into it. If you can stay with us until 5, can you do that?
I don't know that I can stay all the way till 5 just because I'm stuck in a neighborhood with people I'm door knocking with today,
okay,
which is my difficulty.
All right. Well, stay as long as you can. I appreciate your being here. Yeah, this government that we need to rein in, one of the areas in which they are showing clearly how evil that they are is down on the border. And all around the world, there is weaponized immigration, you know, made to profit the crime syndicates of the governments around the world and to break down the sovereignty and the cohesive nature of the populations. And the children are really a big victimized contingent in all this. And Butterfly is down on the border, and we've just got a couple minutes till we go to break here. But Butterfly, if you could please introduce yourself and let people know exactly what they're up to down there, that you have evidence of them trafficking children right into the hands of the U.S. directly from the cartels.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes, I've been down at the border on and off since September, mostly there. I came back for about Christmas time, went back in December, pitched my tent at the border wall, have been receiving these kids. What's going on is the cartels bringing children up about a half mile back, children in cages, dropping them off, cartel coyotes, then bringing them to the holes in the wall. These kids can be raped, abused on the way to the wall. They've been raped and abused or not. They're on their way to it. Most of these, so these kids come through a hole in the wall, and I run with Veterans on Patrol. Now, for a long period of time, I was the only one down there. I spent a good month just by myself in a tent parked right along the wall receiving these children. They come through. They've got a little phone number on them. That's their sponsor number. That's where they're heading. It's a little tore out piece of paper with a phone number wrote on it. My job is I have this brief moment with them before the Border Patrol picks them up, and I'll cover what happens from there in just a moment. So I receive them. I give them a Bible. It's got a phone number in it. They can call to get help. And then I get their name, their age, and their phone number of where they're going, and then proceed to follow so we can keep up and see where they're going. We make a phone call. We find out where it is, where they're going. If it's trafficking, we try to pull them out of trafficking along the line. Because right then and there, as they come through the holes in the wall, the government's going to pick them up and use our tax dollars to traffic them to their next location, whether it be sex, whether it be work camp, whether it be a satanic cult that's in the middle of a big child sacrificing, organ harvesting, you name it. It's usually not Auntie M and Uncle Bob in Kansas.
Right.
So these kids, these kids come through. I have a minute with them. Border Patrol shows up, picks them up, processes them. They're been picked up by a bus, taken to a government facility. They're put into lockdown. They endure what they endure there on their way through to being trafficked. Once they hit their sponsor location, we do checkups. So we have found them in squalor. We have found them with the mattress on the floor. The sponsors are sometimes pedophiles that are getting paid by the government to keep these kids. It's basically pedophiles getting paid to rape and abuse these children, have money in their pocket.
And Butterfly, just to interrupt real briefly, give people the web address where they can go to and see, you know, see this footage and to see your reports, because this should not be overlooked. This needs to go viral, and you need to be supported. Exactly. So how can people go and see this evidence and then support you?
Okay, if you got Telegram, which I highly suggest, I have an At the Border chat on there. Border Wars AZ, all capitalized. You're going to find everything going on, intel of what's going on, not just at our border wall, but with our kids in America that are, so much is going on with our kids, as we all know. I've got a YouTube channel, LUVZBUTTERFLYZ, Loves Butterflies. That's my YouTube. You can go on there. I have documented. When these kids come through the wall, I hit video record. I stick my phone in my top pocket, and I catch everything. I do not know Spanish that well. Sometimes I'm a freaking mess by the time these kids come up, as far as being able with the gap and understanding language and stuff to be as, but I'm there doing something and I'm getting their intel and it's all raw footage. So everything is documented. I'm giving updates. I'm covering everything, what Veterans on Patrol is doing, how we're helping these kids' faces. You're getting to see them. And then my and phone people, number. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you have a way for people to send you support, contact you, and help in any way that they can with donations or coming down to physically put boots on the ground and help you. Or anything they can do, please let people know how they can help you.
Okay. One of the things I love to do is we get a lot of teenagers through. Now, the children and teenagers are a big focus. There are adults that come through, but being able to give these kids a special keepsake Bible, something they can read and understand, we can put a phone number in for them to call. They get the gospel. They get to know they got a God who loves them. They also get a phone number inside to call, a precious keepsake, not something generic they're just going to throw away. I think that's one of the hugest things they can take with them. Info.VOP, that's info.VeteransOnPatrol, VOP, at ProtonMail.com. You can get a hold of, they know what we need. We need boots on the ground. We need gas cards to keep those boots on the ground. It helps them to go up and down the wall. We're miles away from, it helps our volunteers. So we want to make sure these children get something in their hands that gives them the availability to reach out, get help, and have a Bible.
That's
just
awesome.
Know who's, amen, amen. So, and we want to make sure our volunteers, they're giving up their time. They're giving up, and with these gas prices,
and give that contact info out one more time, Butterfly. Give that contact info out one more time, please.
Info.VOP at protonmail.com.
Excellent.
You can get my personal phone number from them. Please call me if you have any questions, if I can help you out. We've got two camps real quick. One is Alpha. That's our supply camp. It's 40 miles up. This is Pima County, Arizona, Mexican border wall. This is 40 miles up. We've got supplies. We got cots. We got sleeping quarters. We got places to sleep. Shoot, you can bring your family, stay up there. Your kid can be homeschooling. We got some solar power there.
Wow.
And you can head down to the wall and help. If you're
That's
going
great.
Down to the wall, amen. If you're going down to the wall, if you want to live at the wall, I've lived at the wall for months and months and months. It's hard living. The desert's your bathroom. There's no facilities. Just make sure you have everything you need. There's places to put your RVs. If you want to, get a hold of me, the info.VOP at protonmail.com. They will give you, just like I said, my personal phone number. I will give you any intel. I will give you coordinates. And we've got some radios. We've got other supplies. We do need donations. We do need help. Sometimes we need to be supplied in certain areas. So info.VOP at protonmail.com is definitely a good place to go. And I've got several media where, just like I said, I upload and document what's going on at our border wall.
Well, that's much appreciated. Hey, you're welcome to ride shotgun with us. I'm not sure how long Scott can stay, so you're welcome to stay in the event he has to drop off. We're going to be on air for about another 25 minutes. I'd love to have you stay if you can. It's amazing what you're doing down there. Direct action is, you know, that says a lot about you, and I really appreciate you doing that. I was very touched by your little clip that was posted on our Area 1 North People's Rights, little chat room there on Telegram. So Thank you for that. Scott, yeah, man, you know, that's a good snapshot of the, you know, how bad the government is. And, you know, whether you go back and look at the Franklin cover-up of all the child sex trafficking, or look at the third highest member of the executive branch, the Speaker of the House, who becomes president if the president and vice president are incapacitated, serial pedophile, Dennis Hastert, you know, U.S. Speaker of the House, convicted pedophile, all the top royalty connected one way or another in Great Britain, which we, you know, they're trying to bring us back under their mantle. You know, there's a global contingent and they're high up in that. So it is quite a bunch of bad guys that we're up against. So, Scott, are you still with us?
I am still with you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, let people know, you know, what you'd like them to know, to be empowered, to, you know, put up some resistance to these people, you know, getting out and voting and educating themselves and, you know, getting to know their neighbors and, you know, getting to church, whatever it is you want to share for compelling people to become part of the solution, please.
Well, you named a bunch of them there, too. So we do see a cultural erosion. I was born in 1967, went to high school in the early 1980s. There are a lot of subjects that we have to deal with today that were not significantly on the radar, and I don't think I could have predicted they would have been when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we had our own issues back then that the culture dealt with, but there's a big cultural slide, and if you look at the rate of pedophilia, even in Bonner County and the prosecutions for lewd conduct with minors and whatnot, it seems to have escalated. If it always happened, I guess there's that possibility, but I know, I'm told by our local prosecutor, that this is a crime that happens more often, so it seems like that the social constructs that we were used to traditionally in America are not as much in play. And there is some sort of, we know human beings are sinners, there's that fact, and we live in bodies of flesh and there are temptations, but there's been a cultural slide into more degenerate behavior, and it happens
in just to be fair, it's
bottom to top.
Absolutely, you're completely 100% correct. I would also add, in addition to that, it is not a slide all on its own. There has been a significant agenda through media to, you know, to sexualize children with this Netflix show Cuties, with, you know, all of the, you know, the sexualization, you know, in schools, the drag queen story hours, the promoting, yeah, you know, all kinds of, you know, weird sex. I mean, I'm not a prude. I grew up in Venice in the 60s. I'm certainly not, I think people should be able to do what they want as long as they don't harm anybody else. However,
well, and the problem is they're harming children, and that's the
exactly
reality. So Drag Queen Story Hour is a great example, and these are happening at libraries and businesses. Even in our community in North Idaho, it's happened.
Yeah, Heather Scott has been good about pointing out the, you know, the literature that they're pushing, and they're not just allowing, they are actually, you know, they are promoting all kinds of lewd, crude, and socially unacceptable behavior.
Well, sure.
And
you
got to wonder.
Last year, there was a bill that the Senate passed in Idaho that included a book called About Chris, and it taught about gender identity crisis, and it was very much a book that lends itself right into this territory, but it's not the only book that's a problem. A very interesting situation in Idaho code right now is the distribution of pornographic materials, lewd materials, is banned in Idaho criminal code, and people can get put do significant prison time for it, except there is a specific exception that if that material is distributed to minors by libraries and schools, then there's no problem. They get an exception in criminal code to do that behavior. And so that's been a vehicle, an avenue by which a lot of these lewd materials are placed into the hands of children by our governments, our local governments. And so these loopholes need to be closed. People need to be diligent. They need to be honest about what's happening in the schools. They need to band together to oppose it at the local level, at the school board level, at the city council level. If there's drag queen story hours, inviting children. Basically, you're talking about grown men sexualizing minor children. I mean, what housewife, what mother actually dresses like some of these men at drag queen story hour and reads to their children in the manner? I've been to one because I wanted to see what actually goes on down in Spokane when a bunch of Christians went and protested one. I went inside. I wanted to see what they're actually doing to these children and its aberrant behavior. And these things need to be opposed. And when they're happening at taxpayer facilities, then they need to be opposed. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to be involved, and we need to say, stop, don't sexualize our children, and don't prey on our children.
Yep, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're killing off the old people with the, as Hazanapan or whatever it is in the old folks' homes, and then they're going after the children. They're poisoning and killing off as many people as they can as fast as they can, and corrupting the ones that aren't going to die right away and profiting from their demise. So I really think it's important to, actually take stock of how evil this agenda is. And there's a lot of people going along with it for God only knows what reason, and it can't be allowed to go on.
Well, I agree with you, and so hopefully people will continue to push back against these things. We have a few warriors in the culture that have been doing it, and I hope that more people will get involved and not just accept the excuse by the establishment and the mainstream that there's no problem here. There's a problem here. And so I think we need to basically not go along with the mainstream and the establishment's narrative, and we need to ask our schools to clean themselves up. And I do highly encourage homeschooling, and I highly encourage church going. But then again, our churches need to do a better job as well, because our churches have basically turned themselves into one-hour service providers on Sundays. But they need to have a much greater impact on the lives of people that are part of that church body, and they need to have an impact on the culture around them. They can't disengage from the culture. The gospel is not separate from the culture. In fact, the gospel is supposed to be taken into every area of our life, and we're supposed to practice Christianity in every aspect of our life and business social circles. So that needs to be happening, and that's hopefully what people will wake up and start to do and not see the two as separate.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing evidence of what you're saying as being exactly true. People are waking up and beginning to smell a rat, and these churches operate under 501c3s, and they don't want to lose their money. It's been, another example, they've been financially incentivized to not oppose these agendas, these agendas to subjugate all of us financially, to, escalate the level of extortion in our taxes, to escalate the level of indoctrination, in the schools. And I see very few ministers that are actually, suggesting that their flocks stand up and oppose the criminality and the debauchery being brought forth by the federal government. And, most of these churches, unfortunately, are completely sold out. They've been, I don't even want to use the word neutered,
I'll add one more aspect to that, and that is it's not only their 501c3 status, but what happens is you've seen a lot of church growth in the last few years, a couple of years, especially during COVID, of some churches, and then what happens is that brings a lot of money into the church because you got new people that are paying tithes and offerings, and then the church grows, and then they probably get kind of comfortable with that, and then if they step into these territories of controversial issues, they're going to drive some of those people away. And so they begin to not speak to those things because they don't want to drive away the people that are attending the church, and they become comfortable at whatever new level of growth that they have. And so the key isn't to have a large church. The key is to have a biblically correct church, and one that teaches the whole counsel of the Word of God on every subject. So hopefully the churches realize that's the priority. We want to make disciples in Christ. We don't want to just have a large attendance and a big building and a big budget. We want to actually make disciples and then have those disciples go into the world and make an impact for the kingdom of God. So hopefully that is
absolutely
their priority and maintains their highest level of attention.
Yeah, the integrity and the principles need to come first, and the prophets are being considered ahead of them. And I'm not an overly religious person, but I'm a very God-centric, divinity-inspired individual. And I see just wonderful things coming out of people that do attend church, but I also have to acknowledge the limitations. And I love it when guys like you and Pastor Art Pawlowski up in Canada, just say no. And, he's thrown the police out of his church physically for trying to get them to wear masks and called them Nazis. And, you know, I think we need to realize that on a much more tangible level that these vermin have brought war to us. They are engaging in war against humanity, and they need to be countered a little bit more in a little more forthright manner. So, yeah, excellent. You know, if it's okay, I'd like to go ahead, Scott, and bring on a call-in, guy Scott in Arizona, and maybe has a question for you or Butterfly. Would that be all right?
Sounds fine.
Yeah, Scott in Arizona on line 5. Are you with us?
Hi, I was calling in about you're seeing trafficking, human trafficking. The term should be slavery, because it is slavery, and the 13th Amendment outlaws slavery. So, you know, kind of registering people, well, slavery's outlawed in America, and here the government has a slave trade going. Say trafficking, yep. People just, well, it's just trafficking. Well, it's actually slavery.
Yeah,
that's
good
one
point.
Of the points I wanted to, yeah. So their terminology is trafficking, and it should be slavery.
I agree with you, Scott. What do you say to that, Butterfly?
I say absolutely and well said. Yes, it is. And you know what? Thanks for calling it out.
No. As far as people go to church, they want to. I'm talking about around my area, anyway. They don't want to acknowledge any evil whatsoever. It's bizarre. It's like,
that's
just go to their church and ignore everything else.
That's part of the New Age BS. You know, they just want everybody to meditate and, feel spiritually, fit and not actually fight evil. And that's been another area of the orchestrated plot against religion, you know, to get everybody to just seek their own inner peace and meditate and don't acknowledge evil, don't acknowledge the problems. And absolutely, great point, Scott.
Well, good. I got to get going, but.
Well, thank you for the call.
Good day.
You too. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, I think that was a good point he makes. And, you know, Mark Passio, a gentleman that has a website called whatonearthishappening.com, and also a group of content creators on another site called the OneGreatWorkNetwork.com. And Mark Passio talks about that quite a bit. He's very forthright in the way he discusses the government is slavery, in essence. And we're not quite capable of actual anarchy yet, with no rulers, being self-governing because of the moral decay and the lack of principles in a lot of people. But it's something to aim for. And, you know, he is very, very clear about this is slavery. Government is slavery. When you attach the labors of a person's, body, we work and create, wealth and income, whatever we do, and the government just decides they're going to take 30% of it, you know, that is slavery. And I don't remember signing on, I don't need the roads that bad. I don't want their infrastructure. But yet, it's very difficult to actually work and earn without them just, absconding with a large percentage of my pay. And then they go past that and they actually enslave these children. And, the prison industrial complex is another great example of, slave labor for profit. And I'm incensed by it. But we're starting to, as a collective, the species is starting to wake up to these facts. And we are turning a large percentage of us, and getting larger, to enact opposition. And so I thank you both, Butterfly and Scott, for being members of the opposition and the resistance to this slavery system. So any and all feedback along those lines, Butterfly or Scott, I appreciate what both of you are doing. Scott, you still there? Butterfly, you still with us? Anybody? Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, we've either got technical difficulties or... Oh, okay. All right, folks. Well, you know, it's not uncomfortable silence. It's just silence. A moment to reflect. It is really game on. And I am just happy and blessed and honored to be given this platform to bring on people like Scott Herndon, people like Butterfly, who's boots on the ground helping children. We'll be right back with the White Rose Resistance Hour, show number 60 on Republic Broadcasting.
Someone threw a Molotov cocktail into the office of a pro-life group in Wisconsin. The official White House statement said, "President Biden strongly condemns this attack and political violence of any stripe." First of all, official statement? President Biden couldn't comment himself? Second, someone throws a firebomb and this administration strongly condemns the action. But speak out at a school board against critical race theory in elementary school and you're a domestic terrorist. The MAGA movement is the most extreme political movement in our country has ever seen. Defend yourself during a riot and you're a racist. January 6th attendees are held under the jail without due process for attacking democracy itself. Firebombing a pro-lifer, strongly condemned. This administration is a partisan blend of hyperbole and hypocrisy. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com until tomorrow. See this Pacum. Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Meanwhile, back in the year one, when you belonged to no one, you didn't stand a chance, son, if your pants were undone, 'cause you were bred for humanity and sold to society. One day you'll wake up in the present day, a million generations removed from expectations of being who you really want to be. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of a new day.
Yeah, indeed. Skating away on the thin ice of a new day and having fun doing it. I'm glad you folks are here with us. Scott has gone off. He's in the middle of door knocking, and his campaign is in full swing. Please support Scott Herndon. He's an awesome, great, wonderful guy. And Butterfly is with us, and we got her reconnected. We had both calls drop at the same time. They said they'd never seen that, so... You know, maybe they're messing with us because we're over the target. I would take that as a huge compliment if that were the case. But we also have Rebecca in Kansas calling in on line three. Rebecca, are you there? Rebecca.
Hi.
Hey,
yeah.
How's things in Kansas?
Well, today it's quite calm, thank goodness.
Need some rain, it is what it is.
I lived in Lawrence for a while. Lawrence, Kansas, I lived for a while.
Oh,
yeah,
did you really? My son lived there.
It was awesome. So what's going on in Kansas, and do you have any questions for Butterfly or comments? Or
have a comment. And first and foremost, when people discuss government, that is not a legitimate government. That is a corporation. That is a proven fact that the government is a corporation. People just don't understand their authority. And the supreme law of this land is the Bill of Rights. And they're not amendments. They are articles. It was the very first amendment to the Constitution, and therein lies 10 articles. Okay?
Yeah, great point. And we're about to close the show, so I'm going to have to cut you off there. But yeah, let's talk about that a little bit with Butterfly before we close the show. We just got a couple of minutes here. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that.
So what is it exactly she was asking?
Well, we were discussing how the government has overstepped its bounds and is, it's involved in all kinds of machinations, one of which is the child sex slavery trafficking. And, we entered into a security and prosperity partnership with Canada and Mexico, running it all like one big corporation, right, which is your point. So, yeah, I appreciate your bringing that up. And the remedy is to go back, as you said, to the principles in the Constitution and the first, the amendments, and actually follow that rule of law, that being the most supreme law. So thank you, Rebecca. Please call in next week earlier in the show. I'd love to have you back on. There she goes, everybody. Rebecca in Kansas. Thank you. So, Butterfly, we're getting ready to close out the show. Do you want to take the last few minutes of the show? You'll hear the music come up, and then we'll be done. But thank you so much for coming on. Please give us any parting ideas or thoughts, and let people know one more time how they can support you and your great work down there on the border.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate that we're hoping politics and government will stand up and make a difference. But in the meantime, I have documented government-funded, cartel-run child sex trafficking. They are working together. Our job, this is our country, this is our wall, is to take it back from the cartel and stand strong as Americans and show up at our border wall, wherever you can, to make a difference. Get a hold of me. We can make a difference. 509-263-4612. info.vop@protonmail.com. Sorry about that. Get
Thank
involved,
you, Butterfly.
America. Yep.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll speak soon. Love you,
Thank
folks.
You, bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, everybody, God willing and the river don't rise. We'll see you next Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. God bless.
Looking for a sign that the universe on my hands has written you into the passion play. Skating away, skating away, skating away on the thin ice of the new day.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.